I'm meteorologist Sally Russell on 101.1 The Way.
Broadcasting the timeless word of God in truth and in worship.
24 hours a day on The Way.
101.1.
Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring East Tennesseans for over 55 years. From your home to the nursing home and everything in between. For a no-obligation, personalized quote, Bob Johnson Insurance can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Eventually, Israel will have to deal with Hezbollah like they've had to deal with Hamas. But Hezbollah says, "We have a surprise for you." Well, there's no surprise with the latest news coming out of Iran. But should we be surprised when elected officials, who are supposed to uphold the law, are saying we should do away with the law? Well, get ready, because Pastor Mark is going to lay down the law as we look at the signs of the times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, May 31st, 2024. Listen to this or previous episodes again. You can share them with a friend, read the articles we talk about, or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question. When you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net, or grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here to tell us that the problem with kleptomaniacs is that they always take things literally is Pastor Mark, who just published a book on reverse psychology, but he's begging all of us not to go out and buy it.
There you go.
Okay.
Now, they may think I really wrote a book on reverse psychology, but...
And then they're going to be Googling your name. It's going to come number one in Google search.
That's right. That's right.
Pastor Mark Kirk, Reverse Psychology.
There's no book on that.
That's right. There's no book on that. Anyway.
Oh, that's good.
All right. So now it's time to discuss the elephants in the room.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple things I want to bring up, is just things to start the show off with before we jump into our articles. One is just kind of a, it's very obvious what just happened. The whole world's talking about, and I mean the whole world, about this trial with President Trump that just took place. And so we need to mention these kind of things. One of the things we don't focus in on being a political show. And this, to me, is signs of the times. This is not political. And I feel like I have to say that every time I address something, one of these things, I probably don't need to. But this is such a large signs of the times, end times sign, that I don't think people even realize until we point it out. Maybe a lot of our listeners will, because they know and they look for these things. But what happened here with the president in this trial? Look, I think that pretty much anybody, unless they're really ensconced in partisan politics, they stand on one side or the other. And you can watch what happened and realize that this is something that's just ridiculous. I mean, there was never really a crime nailed down, as far as I know, and he was convicted on some 30-some, counts of something that could end up being 180 years in prison if they did one with each thing or whatever, and they still don't know what it was quite he did. It's not about that. I want, our listeners, this is where we in the last days as believers, we have to get away from politics, get away from anything you view, whether you like President Trump or not, or whoever. Let's say this was happening to President Biden or a governor or anyone in our culture. When you see a breakdown of the legal system where people simply do things for the sake of getting someone else, just to get them, we're in big trouble as a nation. When you can convict someone without a crime because they're running for president, What stops them from coming after each of our listeners right now? What stops somebody from coming after you as you're listening right now and just accusing you of something they can't prove and there's no real crime they can see, but they can put together a jury that doesn't like you in an area with a judge that doesn't like you, and they can just kind of make it happen. I was astounded yesterday listening to the directions that the judge gave, basically saying you can pick any of these areas you want to find a guilty verdict on. You don't need to even all agree. It doesn't need to be unanimous, and it'll still, you know, go as a guilty verdict. But since when did that happen? Never, I think, would be a good word to use at this point. And it basically was, there's no way out on this. You know, we were talking, Greg, beforehand about, and we by no means are making any comparison to Jesus Christ when we say what's happening to President Trump. Please don't misunderstand. I don't even know if it doesn't even appear he knows the Lord. I'm not going to get in a fight with anybody about that. When you look at the fruit.
This isn't about the person. This is about the course of the trial.
Yeah, you look at what happened to Jesus. Yeah. In that trial, there was nothing at all they had against him. In that situation, and they still found him guilty and literally crucified him. Of course, President Trump has many things you could find against him, even as you could against me or anybody else. We're not like, we can't put ourselves in the same category as the Lord. But the reality is, there was nothing here in this particular trial that they were able to say he did something wrong in. It was just really, basically just decided we're going to get this guy, and he can't get out of it, and we're going to get these convictions. And, of course, if it goes to the Supreme Court, which I think eventually it will, he'll be, I believe, acquitted of all charges, and you know, and I know there'll probably be a pretty strong reprimand for the judge and others. I don't know whether the consequences will come that way, but that's not the point. This is all for them. It's a political thing, but I want to rise up.
For them, it's to keep him out of the election.
That's right, but I want to rise for us as believers. Look at signs of the times now. Let's get spiritual here, okay? Rise above. Let's get in your spiritual helicopter, and let's lift up away from all politics. Let's go up above the clouds. You can see you're up there now. You're looking at all the white clouds below. You're still coming up, and now we get the Lord's view as to what's going to be happening in the last days. This is why I say this is a signs of the times article. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that in the last days, and at the final end before he comes back, there's going to be lawlessness, not just lawlessness, but lawlessness will abound. And so when you see a court that can bring someone, especially someone that's as protected as a former president, you're talking about someone that has the highest office in the land. And they typically in the past, Greg, have just had great deference, even maybe when they shouldn't. There's been presidents that have been pardoned. There have been things that have happened that you could say, well, you know, whether that was right or wrong to do, you could make your arguments. But they just were because the position they had and because of what it meant to us as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if our top leaders can be that easily taken down, then, you know, what happens to the rest of the nation below that? And who wants to be a leader? And it's interesting, it talks about the last days too, people not wanting to be leaders. They say, you be a leader. No, you be a leader. No, I don't want to be the leader, you know. But, and you see why when you see these kind of things happen. Because, but here's the thing, the Antichrist, here, let's get the overall picture again. He's going to control the entire world and take away everyone's rights. There will be no justice in a court or anywhere else. It will simply be him as dictator and God. He's declaring he's God. He won't really be God, but he's going to say, I'm God. He's going to be a tyrannical dictator, and he will just do whatever he wants. There will be no law that can protect anyone. There will be no law that will do anything for you. You will simply be at the mercy of him saying yay or nay, thumbs up, thumbs down. And when you see this kind of thing where certain people can get in power that are just have evil intent, and it's not about, again, which part of your politics, just evil intent. They don't want to do what's right, any type of justice, follow any type of law. You're going to see these kind of things happen. And you're going to see more and more of it in the last days. Remember, lawlessness will abound. This is the kind of thing where you may be dragged into court for being a Christian. And because you said, well, Jesus said, no one goes to the Father except by me. Then a group of other religious leaders could come together and say, you just insulted and blasphemed all of our religions. We're going to take you to court and sue you. And they get the jury they want. They get the judge they want. And the judge convicts you of a hate crime by saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And you get, you know, 20, 30, 40 years in prison or whatever, or worse. This is where this kind of stuff leads to. I mean, you hear all the people on TV and they say it so much. I think it makes us go a little bit numb. You hear about kangaroo court and third world country and all. And all those are true applications. But what we have to realize is we're heading into a time in the last days where you're not just going to see trials like you just saw with former President Trump. You're going to see more of this with other people, people of influence, people of non-influence, court trials, all kinds of things that are going to be so absurd, and there's not going to be any justice, and it's going to be just, you don't need a crime, you don't need a law. If you have a law, you can completely ignore it. It's going to be, here's the bottom line, who's in power? And who's ever in power, they're going to get their way. And when it leads to the Antichrist, which is where this is leading, I think this is the beginning of showing you what can happen to a world that loses a law. It's going to come to a point to where the Antichrist will say, if you don't bow down to me, I will cut off your head. On what basis? I said so. Well, how are you going to prove it? There's nothing to prove. We're going to cut your head off. And he'll do it. The Bible says after the rapture of the church, there'll be masses of people that the Antichrist will simply cut their heads off because they don't bow down to him under his law, under his rule, saying, I'm God. If you say, I'm not going to bow down, your head will be cut off. Now, some will avoid that. Some will live. You know, how that'll happen, I'm sure there'll be different ways. But I'm saying, you need to recognize, this is much bigger than politics. It's much bigger even than the American Constitution. Now, the president came out and he did say, you know, rightfully so, this is a much bigger thing than me. And he was right about that. But his approach was, it's much bigger than me based on our country. And I get that. I understand that. I think that it's, you got to have some kind of order in your countries and et cetera. But what he's not saying, Greg, is that I'm saying now, it goes even higher than our country. This is not about America. It's not about a single trial. This is about lawlessness, as Jesus said would be happening in Matthew 24 in the last days. And it's going to get to such a state of lawlessness that it will be total dictatorship by this leader we call the Antichrist, based out of Europe in the revived Roman Empire. And it won't be, it'll be whatever he wants to do to anybody. I don't know that they'll even need a court. I don't think you'll even have to get a jury and sit there and have to have lawyers go back and forth. It's going to be, you will bow down. Well, I won't. Cut his head off. And they'll pull you over. They'll cut your head off. Now, that's where this is headed. So I know I went from zero to 1,000 in just a couple of minutes there. But my point is, you got to realize when you watch these things happen, some of you may be political. You know, I'm not as political as many that are out there. Some of you may be. And you may be jumping up and down mad because your guy got this or that or whatever. And then you're going to get their guy. And this is going to go tit for tat like Pat Fields and McCoy's. And it opens up a door that's horrible when it comes to just the world and the political realm. Where does it end? It really doesn't. But if you can rise above all that and realize, look, that's not really where the problem is. The problem is where the world is headed and the entire world being overtaken, that there'll be zero justice and zero law and zero anything, especially once the rapture takes place. Once we're out of here, Greg, yeah, and the salt of the earth is gone, this thing's going to rot so fast. And this is the beginning of it. I believe that.
There's a fulfillment of lawlessness that needs to come.
Yeah.
And then the son of perdition is revealed.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, no. Well, what I was going to say is that, you know, and he will rule with an iron fist, but the rule of the Antichrist makes the rule of the now deceased president of Iran look like a cakewalk.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
And you've got more information about him, do you not?
I do. Well, this is something I want our listeners to be aware of. I don't know if our listeners had noticed this or not. Actually, I didn't even. It wasn't even brought to my attention until today, which I find very interesting. Last Sunday, not this last Sunday, but a week ago, 10 days ago.
Whenever the helicopter crashed,
yeah,
right?
It'll be 2 weeks, I think, this Sunday, right? Was it last Sunday? Okay, I don't want to quote on that. By the way, I was wrong on my percentage for our listeners last week. Greg, you were right. It was
400,000.
400,000 was 20% when we talked about those things last week. So never let me do math. You know, again, when I do math, you always have the aftermath. And so this is the aftermath, after action drills, aftermath to correct all of Mark's
that was good.
Inability
yes.
to do Mark. But I do plead Einstein. I do plead, not that I'm smart, but he couldn't do math either. He was a math failure. So I plead the name of Einstein in that one. Either way. But I think this Sunday, it's 2 weeks ago, and if not, it was this past Sunday, whenever we had the National Day of Prayer for Israel. And so, I can't believe I can't
remember. This wasn't Israel's National Day of Prayer, it was our National Day.
America, we had here,
oh,
in
gotcha.
America,
gotcha.
A National Day of Prayer to pray for Israel and their war and Iran and all this going on with them. And I prayed here with the body. I prayed that morning. We spent time. We did kind of an extended prayer before the service. Whenever it was, whether it was this last Sunday, the one before, again, this is crazy. The days roll together so easily now. That was the day his helicopter went down. So you had a nation praying for God to protect Israel. And there wasn't, the nation wasn't praying for Iran's president to be taken out. I'm not saying that, or anybody else. No, nobody was praying for someone to die. I'm saying we, as the Church of America that was involved in praying for Israel, and there were a lot of us, as we prayed for Israel on that day, that's the day that his helicopter came down. I find that, again, and we've talked about this before on the broadcast, a lot of people kind of wave that stuff off and say, ah, come on, you're being too this or too that. I can't ignore this stuff. To me, this is more than coincidence. And again, when you remember that everything that happens is on God's calendar, God is very detailed. He picks certain days for our lives. He picks everything that's going to happen. God is a very detailed God. And when we begin to pray as a nation for the nation of Israel, God's going to protect them. God said, I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And I don't find it coincidental that the president's helicopter of Iran went down the day that it was a national day of prayer to protect Israel against Iran and Hamas, and they're all connected, and they're in Rafah, and what's going on in Hezbollah. So, we've seen this over and over, but Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. And again, that's what puts great fear in my heart for our leaders in our nation as we make these stands, because as we're going to see in the articles today, Greg, it's pretty obvious to everyone, our current administration is very openly anti-Israel. They hate Israel, and they're fighting against them. It used to be kind of hidden, and it was a political issue. As we talk about political issues, it was. It's not now. It's very open. We will fight against Israel. We want to bring them down, even fighting for the destruction of Israel, as we'll see in the articles today. But I think, again, keep your eyes open. I want our listeners to have their eyes open to these types of things, because you need to recognize what I believe is the hand of God protecting the nation of Israel. And it's God says you don't mess with my land and you don't mess with my people, and we need to take it seriously as well.
Okay, well, let's go to Israel, and we'll start with a joke. What do you get when you watch $320 million walk off a pier? Pastor Mark's going to give us the punchline as we go to the LA Times to see what's next after the U.S.-built pier in Gaza broke apart.
Yeah, well, again, we just talked about, Genesis 12:3, Greg, those who bless Israel, I'll bless. Those who curse Israel, I will curse. Those who fight against Israel, it'll come to nothing. Again, you're talking about the $320 million bridge that the most powerful nation on the planet, the United States of America, with well-trained military, the greatest military in world history, with the greatest engineers in world history, they built this pier to be able to drop off supplies to go into Gaza. And all of a sudden, this thing in one week, it broke apart and sank. And why do I say that? I believe it was the hand of God breaking that bridge apart and sinking it. And why do I say that? Because those who bless Israel, I will bless. Those who curse Israel, I will curse. It was $320 million wasted dollars, which we waste so much money. They're probably going to pour more money in to try to do this. And God's going to thwart their efforts. I believe that. Now, let me say this. This is not about aid to Gaza. If you're not doing your homework, you may not know this, but I'm doing mine, and you need to understand there is no famine, and there's no starvation, and there's no lack in Gaza. That is a lie you're being told for propaganda purposes by those who hate Israel. For those who have connections in Gaza and all of the reports coming out with video and the people that are there and the connections we have, they have an overabundance of food. They have so much food, they're mocking us for the food we're giving them. They're going online doing little videos about saying, you call this a meal, you call this food. They're mocking us for giving them food. Things that are dropping out of planes are going, we hate this stuff. What are you doing? Look, if you're starving, you'll eat dirt. You're not going to be complaining because it's not the brand you wanted to fall out of an airplane. Nope, they show pictures of the markets. They're loaded down with food, loaded down with drink. Hamas is stealing the supplies from the people. So if anybody's lacking, it is once again Hamas's fault for stealing everything that is being sent in there and putting it away. But Greg, here's the thing. Even with the massive amount of supplies, fuel and food that Hamas is stealing and storing in warehouses, there is still an overabundance of food in the streets and in the markets. I've seen the pictures. They're still coming out from multiple sources. This is not just, somebody fly-by-night thing. So there's no starvation. There's no genocide going on. All of this is demonic propaganda that the enemy, and again, I want to say, this is the enemy doing this. Don't even look to mankind. Even we talked about the trial that just happened. Don't look at people. When you look at people doing it, then you can start, you know, blaming politicians or politics or whatever or judges. Look, they're all going to be held accountable for what they've done. This is the spirit of Antichrist. This is demonic. This is, you know, God is over the world. Satan, he allows Satan a certain amount of power underneath that. This is being run from the spiritual realm. This is not men. And so understand the propaganda coming out of the Gaza. This is demonic. But know this. When America comes in and says, we're going to now give supplies to the enemies of Israel. I'm not talking about not giving them food. They've got food. They've got gas. They've got supplies. When America comes in and says, we're just going to give you whatever you want with some pier we're going to build, it wouldn't surprise me with this current administration that we sent in, you know, all kinds of things we shouldn't be sending in. Only God knows the truth of it. But when you stand against Israel and fight for Israel's enemies, there will be a consequence. Whenever you do that, you know, God more than once, you know, would send prophets, you know, to the kings, Greg, and he would say, look, you're when you're fighting against God and supporting the enemies of God, you know, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to bring you down. And even godly kings, you know, we talked again right before the show with Jehoshaphat, who was a godly king down in the southern kingdom, and you had an ungodly king, Ahab, up north. He goes up and allies with Ahab and says, you know, Ahab, will you go to battle with me against my enemies? He should have said, no, look, I'm not going to be against you, but I'm not going to go with you, and you're not with God right now, and you guys aren't serving the Lord, because they were serving false gods and away from, you know, what God wanted for their lives. But instead, he goes, yeah, he gave in to the political pressure, okay? He gives in, and what happens? He goes to battle. And they start chasing him. And Ahab said to him, look, you put on your robes so everybody can see there's a king. I'll disguise myself. Duh, what are you doing? Why would you put on the robes and get everybody chasing you as the king to get you killed and be identified? But he does it because he's blinded by his ignorance. So they start chasing Jehoshaphat. He cries out to God. God saves him and delivers him from that situation. Ahab gets killed. And then, you know, basically God says, why, since you're helping my, you know, my enemies, you know, then I'm going to be doing this to you, you know, whatever. And Jehoshaphat repented. God said, all right, you repented, but there's still going to be a consequence. Here's the bottom line. I'm rambling right now because I see this kind of stuff. If we start helping Hamas, like by building land bridges to give Hamas supplies, and you can put it under the guise of helping the Gazan people, 80% of the Gazan people voted with Hamas even after October 7th, and 80% still say we support Hamas and what they did and the rape and murder, etc. So in general, 80% of the Gazan population has said we are enemies of God and of Israel. That's what they've made a statement in their own stance. So again, not innocent, yes, take care of the innocent, but there's very few innocent that are there. Some 400,000, as we said last week in that correction, out of you know, over 2 million. That's not that many. The point is, yes, we want there to be mercy. Yes, God is gracious. Yes, God wants people to have medicine and food and all that. I get it, especially the women and children. I get all that. But when you stand with the enemies of God and the enemies of Israel, like America is now doing, and you support the enemies of God, like America is now doing, you're going to see your multi-million dollar and well-engineered piers sink into the ocean because you're fighting against God. And if they do it, it's going to continue to happen.
Okay. All right, this is from the Jerusalem Post, dated May 27th. Hezbollah plans to use new weapons to down Israeli Air Force jets.
Yeah.
Do tell us.
Well, again, remember, when Israel goes in and brings these raids, typically the guys around there can do nothing to stop them. And I remember there was the big threat years ago about the S-400s from Russia that they brought in these anti-aircraft missiles, and they were going to now be able to bring down the Israeli planes with these new missile systems they'd purchased from Russia. And those, and again, Israel got around those. Those failed as well. This will also fail. But here's the thing. Even if they had some new weapons, Greg, that could bring down their planes, even before I get into this article, why would you tell them? You don't. If you really had that, surprise them. Surprise them and bring the planes down so they can't plan for you not to be able to before you get there. So, again, it's either a false thing they're saying to try to keep them from attacking, or in just their foolishness and blindness, they're just revealing what they've got and what they're going to do. Hezbollah does not intend to reduce its activities against Israel in the north. The article says, according to a report published in the Kuwaiti daily newspaper, Al Jarida, on Monday. The organization intends to continue fighting as long as the war in the Gaza Strip continues and is convinced that the U.S. will increase the pressure on Israel to stop the war as long as the date of the presidential elections is approaching. You know, he wants his votes, and so we can take advantage of that right now, and he won't do anything.
Right.
Of course, he wouldn't do anything
anyway.
It was stated in the newspaper that the Shia terrorist organization, was preparing for long months of fighting and preparing surprises for Israel. Well, let me let you know, God has surprises for you, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Hezbollah's plan to launch new weapons at Israeli jets. That's their surprise, these new weapons. The sources cited in the Kuwaiti newspaper also revealed that Nasrallah is planning, and he's the ruler there of Hezbollah in Lebanon, is planning surprising moves on two levels. The first, according to them, includes the use of weapons that have not yet been used in this conflict, including long-range precision missiles and surface-to-air missiles that the organization will try to launch at Air Force planes. So, yeah, they're just, again, they always get up there and talk about how big they are. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. No, you're fighting against God, and when you fight against God, you'll lose. Look, are they going to shoot down a plane or two? Possibly. Are there some Israelis going to die? Possibly. But it's going to be a failure because God is standing with the nation of Israel, even as we are to do as the church, and it's going to be a major failure. They're going to see, once again, their plans to thwart Israel are going to be thwarted themselves.
Okay. All right, our next article, Pastor Mark, comes from Israel National News, where they are reporting on the International Atomic Energy Agency report that has just come out, saying that Iran has reportedly increased its uranium-enriched arsenal to near weapons grade levels.
Yeah, well, and Israel's confirming this. They pretty much are there. They're pretty much there. I mean, there's just a tiny step they need to do. And here's the thing, we're going to see, we're actually even helping them. But notice this, it says Iran has further increased its stockpile of uranium enriched to near weapons grade levels. As you just said, the report said that as of Monday, May 11th, Iran has 142.1 kilograms of uranium enriched up to 60%. That doesn't sound like, well, they have 40% to go. No, it jumps really fast from 60. This is nothing. An increase of 20.6 kilograms since the last report in February. Uranium enrichment at 60% purity is just short, a technical step away from weapons grade at 90%. By the IAEA's definition, around 42 kilograms of uranium enriched to 60% is the amount at which creating one atomic weapon is possible if the material is enriched further to 90%. Now, again, here's why this is a big deal. These, you got to remember, Iran, to die, they win. See, the American mindset, we don't have that. To live, we win. But to die, they win on two levels. Number one, they believe that if they die in fighting for Allah, which wants to destroy Israel, then they go straight to heaven and have all these rewards in heaven. The 70 virgins and all this other stuff. You know, I don't know what the women get, basically nothing. So, but either way, that's what happens. But Greg, in addition, Islam itself, they openly say they are the religion of death. Death to them is a good thing. Allah wants them to die and to kill as many as they can. So they promote death as a good thing, whereas we, with the Western mindset, especially the Christian mindset, death is not a good thing. Life is a good thing. Anytime you're standing pro-life, you're standing where God stands. And so Iran is anti-life, and so they're standing against God in the demonic realm. So the bottom line is that even if they say they got one nuclear weapon, to them they could say it's worth it to get it, to shoot it over there, to wipe out Israel, even if we get wiped out. Because either way, we win. We get to take Israel out because we love death and we're a religion of death. And if they fight back and somebody lives or anybody else strikes us because of that, then we get our virgins in heaven, we get our reward, and we're there with Allah and all that. So how do you defeat an enemy who by losing, they win? And that's what you're facing when you talk about the leadership of Iran. So they can now get a nuclear weapon any day and theoretically annihilate Israel. Now, here's the thing. Is that going to happen? No. It's not going to happen. God said, when I bring Israel back in the land in the last days, they will remain. It tells us that in Amos, the last chapter of Amos. And so, again, God's not going to let that happen. But at the same time, the fact that we would allow that to happen, the fact that the world would allow that to happen, he didn't say he wouldn't allow Iran to get nuclear weapons and destroy America. And remember what they chant, you know, first the Jew, then the Christian. First, and they literally say, first Israel, then America. First Israel, then America, right? Saturday first, Sunday second. So understand, if they can't destroy Israel because God's protecting them, well, our protection from God is now leaving very rapidly because of our rebellion against God. We don't have promises like Israel does for America. which means God could allow us to be nuked. God could allow us to be taken out. So we as a nation should be ourselves fighting drastically, not just for Israel's sake. We should be fighting for our nation's sake that they never have a nuclear weapon, because they if they can, they will use those type of weapons against us. So this is a huge deal. I wouldn't be surprised if they already have one and they're just now starting to admit it by putting all these articles out, because they've been close for years, they keep saying. But now it's pretty much confirmed. Look, these guys are on the, they're making nuclear weapons. We're in big trouble. We need to do something. And that is, as America trusts God, Israel are going to be protected. But either way, this is not good.
All right, we go to Fox News for an article dated May 29th. Boston's Democratic mayor says criminals should not be prosecuted for theft and gang registry should be abolished.
You know, we should have covered this with the whole Trump trial article at the beginning, actually, because this is exactly...
But this is the same.
It's exactly
same
the same.
Same spirit, I should say.
It is. The spirit of Antichrist, right in line. Lawlessness in the last days will abound, Matthew 24. We've actually got mayors now and leaders saying that we need to promote crime. We need to encourage crime. We need to protect the criminal. We've been doing it for a long time, but in a more graphic way. Boston Mayor Michelle Wu advocated a soft on crime agenda. I would say zero on crime agenda by pushing to abolish, as you said, gang registries, criminal behavior thing. Listen, according to the website, the group intends to transform Massachusetts into a bold laboratory for progressive state initiatives. Let me also say it'll be transforming Massachusetts, this is me making this comment, into a blazing fire of criminality. It's going to be a nightmare if you're in Massachusetts. God have mercy on all of you there. No wonder everybody's leaving California and Oregon and everywhere else and coming here to Tennessee and all the other states. I think there's probably going to be a mass exodus from Massachusetts because of what's happening. In the document, Wu outlined her most progressive commitments, including her support for, notice this, in addition, for non-citizen voting in Boston's local elections. So let's bring in the illegals that are criminals. Let's let them do their crimes, destroy our city, our state, our nation. And now let's let them vote so they can do greater damage even at the political level. You know, when you see this type of blindness, Greg, and this type of foolishness, you realize this is a spiritual blindness. No human on their own could just be this blind and this foolish. There's got to be a spiritual lethargy, a cloud of something blinding the eyes, blinding the mind, blinding the heart. Again, it talks about in Romans 1 in the last days, believing the lie, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's exactly what you see happening here with this particular article. D.A. Rollins enacted the policy memo identifying more than a dozen charges she said should be declined for prosecution. Listen to what you should not prosecute. Here we go. Shoplifting. So it's just theft, stealing.
Yeah, go ahead and steal. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Larceny, disorderly conduct, receiving stolen property. So you can steal it and then sell it. By the way, there are markets now set up in Seattle, different places where they're selling all these things they've looted. You know, you saw the looting going on. They've got markets that they're selling it on the streets just to make money off of it. So you got, again, they're receiving.
Wow.
Markets. You can literally walk through and pick your stuff out. They're receiving stolen property. That's part of that. That wouldn't be prosecutable. Driving with a suspended license. Breaking and entering with property damage.
Wow.
Yeah, just break into your house, destroy it, and say, well, no, sorry, no charges on this. Wanton and malicious destruction of property. So anybody can just destroy your property?
Yeah. I'm angry with you. I'm going to destroy your property.
That's right.
I can get away with it.
That's right. Threats, minor in possession of alcohol, that is underage people being able to just to have it be illegal and whatever they want. Marijuana possession, possession with intent to distribute, non-marijuana drug possession. So it is just a madhouse.
Wow.
It is a criminal's dream.
Yes.
Go there, do your drugs, have crime, and everybody has to leave you alone, and you can do what you want to people. This is truly, you know, great, this where Jesus said, again, Matthew 24 is the chapter for the last days. It's the biggest chapter. There's so much more, but what do you say? It's going to be like the days of Noah. And the days of Noah, there was just violence filled the earth, it says. Total anarchy, everybody doing what's right in their own eyes. we are there in some places right now.
Yes, we are.
There. And it's moving to overtake other areas. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Aren't you glad that the Lord is going to take us out of here? God said, look, pray that you may escape these things that are coming upon the earth. And I do believe that that we will be able to escape them through the rapture to a certain degree, but we're going to have to put up with it until that takes place. And I thank God that he's given us an area of the country and an area of the world where there's still some level of stronghold and protection, even though it's moving this way.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who's helping us understand these unfortunate signs of the times.
Yeah.
Our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville, a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast number 313, available to subscribe to and listen wherever you get your podcasts. And now,
you've got mail.
We have one question this week, Pastor Mark, and it comes from Keon, enjoying us out there in New Market, Tennessee.
Great.
His question is about the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. He says, who do you think they are? I know no one knows, but what are your thoughts on it?
Now, that's a great question, Keon. I certainly wouldn't fight anybody on it or divide over it, but I'll share you my thoughts. We know one of them. The Bible does tell us that one of them, and we don't know both of them, but the Bible clearly says that one of them will be Elijah. He will return, and Elijah will indeed be one of the witnesses. Now, remember, Elijah was taken up when Elisha was with him in the chariot and preserved. And I do believe that, again, even Elijah's body was preserved because they went out and they looked for the body of Elijah. Remember, flesh and blood cannot go to paradise or heaven, either one. And he went to paradise at that time and of course, heaven now. But either way, that's a whole other study there. I don't mean to confuse people on that. But the bottom line is you can't leave the earthly realm and go into the spiritual realm with flesh and blood. That's the best way to say that. So when his body left, when he left, his body didn't go. It went up as Elisha saw it. But what happened then? So the prophets that were there with Elisha said, hey, we know that his body didn't go. We know that it can't go anywhere. It's got to be here somewhere. Let us go look for it. And Elisha kept saying, no, don't go look for his body. It's like Elisha knew that his body would not be found. He knew that God had done something with Elijah's body. And you say, how did he know that God had done something with Elijah's body? Because all through Scripture, God honors the bodies of the saints. Even when your spirit leaves, God honors those bodies. And God built in his system, even with the law, that they would bury the bodies and treat the bodies with respect. So there's a certain, like, because we're made in the image of God, there's a protection of the body that God gives for the believer. So when Elijah went, Elisha knew that, and they kept saying, let us go look for him. You're not going to find him. Don't go. Let us go look for him. You're not going to. Okay, go look. You want to do it? Get off my back. So for days, they go and look for the body of Elijah, and guess what? They don't find it. Now, again, his spirit would have left right there when he went up in the clouds, so his body should have fallen somewhere right there and there. So no doubt they scoured that area. They probably just did, you know, grid system and whatever. No, there's no body there. Why? Because God got his body, even as Elisha knew. And God buried him. God is, again, always honors the bodies, as we said throughout Scripture. So God buried Elisha somewhere. We don't know where. Doesn't tell us. It doesn't have to say that God buried him. We just know that God did. I wouldn't fight with somebody over that, but I think we can make a very solid biblical argument that indeed God took Elijah's body and buried it. Now, so when it says that Elijah's coming back, I believe the reason that God took Elijah's body and nobody found it is because he's going to use it again. I believe when the spirit of Elijah, who's now with the Lord in heaven, I believe he'll leave heaven, he'll come back down and get into his original body that was here over 2,000 years ago, and he'll go in that body, probably in the preserved clothes. Remember, they were in the wilderness those 40 years, and their clothes didn't wear out. It's a dry, arid, you know, atmosphere. Probably God preserved them. You will see, I believe, Elijah looking just like Elijah, in his same body, with his spirit now getting in it, and walking into Jerusalem as one of the witnesses. Is that going to be wild or what? I mean, it's just amazing to think about. It's exciting. But I think that's what happened. Like I said, I'm not going to fight about that. You can say, no, God's going to give Elijah a new body. But, okay, you can make that argument. And I won't fight with you. But I think it's going to be the same body. Now, why do I say that? Because you asked who the second one was. Now, let me cover, first of all, some of the arguments of others people say that it could be. Some say it could be Zerubbabel because God refers to Zerubbabel being at the rebuilt temple. Some say that it could be Enoch because Enoch never died. Remember, he walked with God and Enoch on heaven's door and God took him. And so he never did die. So they say, well, because of that, since he didn't die, everybody has to die. And so he's the second one. So you have, now that argument wouldn't work with Zerubbabel, but it could work with Enoch because You have now Elijah, who never died. He just went to be with the Lord. Then you have Enoch, who never died, but went to be with the Lord, so to speak. So they make that argument. And the argument, they say that everybody, since everybody, you know, has to die, it has to be one of those two, et cetera. Well, that we know that, first of all, that's not a true biblical statement. Everybody is not going to die. There will be, in the generation of the rapture, probably millions that never die. So far, it's only been Elijah and Enoch. There's only been two. But there's going to be, at the rapture, you know, Greg, you and I will be, we'll be added to the Enoch and Elijah list. And
praise the Lord.
And everybody else that goes, we're going to be. So when you, if you think this proves that it's going to be Enoch because he never died, well, your argument doesn't hold up biblically, because a lot of us are not going to die. And I personally believe I won't die. I really believe this is the generation that'll see the rapture. And only God knows that. So if that's the case, then we're in the same category as Enoch and Elijah, not as prophets and that kind of thing, and not maybe seen in the same favor, but we're still not going to ever die. So that generation won't. So to me, that I'm not saying it couldn't be them. I'm just saying that the argument that it proves that it's Enoch because of that doesn't hold water biblically. Now, with that said, who do I believe the second one is? We know the first one, the Bible tells us. It's Elijah. Well, who's the second one? I believe it's Moses. And a lot of people make the argument that if you notice the miracles that they do, the two prophets, you know, they have the same abilities as Moses and Elijah. I don't think that's really a stronger argument. That may be true, but God can give them whatever ability he wants. It's his power giving. It doesn't have to be just the things that Moses and Elijah could do. It's whatever God wants. The reason I believe that it's Moses, there's two reasons. Number one, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and the guys dozed off and they wake up in one of the most important meetings of world history, that is Jesus, he's talking to two that are in spirit there with him, Moses and Elijah. And it says they're talking about basically the last days. They're having a prophecy conference. He said they're talking about Jesus' death in Jerusalem. Now, why would the Lord be meeting with Moses and Elijah and to be doing it visually so that the disciples could see it? I think it's a clue by the Holy Spirit as to who these prophets are going to be. They're going to be coming back at the place where the Lord died. I think they're probably discussing the fact they're coming back. They're going to be the witnesses. And I believe that personally was what was going on there. But I want to go beyond that and say, look, is there any other body that we know of that God buried and preserved besides Elijah? And again, remember, you're not going to find any scripture saying God buried Elijah. So if you're looking for that, and that's not there. So I'm not saying I'm right on that. I'm saying I think that's a very good biblical, educated guess, because we know God preserves and protects the bodies, and they never found it. But we do know that God supernaturally protected and buried Moses. When Moses died, the Bible tells us God took his body and buried his body, which God would do, honoring that body. But God did it in a way where no one knew where it was, which means we don't know where the tomb of Moses is even today. Now, if indeed I'm right and God preserved the actual original body of Elijah and is going to allow his spirit to go back in it, and if indeed God is preserving Moses' body, it might be that both bodies are preserved and some were buried over there, that Moses will go back in his original body as God brings back the second witness, and the two witnesses then, in that case, would be Moses and Elijah. Now, I will give you one other interesting side note to that. It never hit me until I was over there in the land and saw the topography. But I went to the region where Moses is buried, and you see the little, right somewhere in that region, you look at, this is the area he got buried in. We don't know where it is. Which is kind of wild to think that if you found Moses and Elijah's body, if they really are preserved, if you happened to walk in those caves, you'd find them laying there in their clothing, preserved in their body supernaturally. That'd be a wild, God wouldn't let that happen. But can you imagine? Oh my goodness. Talk about a Raiders of the Lost Ark type movie. You know, we didn't find the ark. We found Moses and Elijah. But anyway, they may very well be laying in tombs over there somewhere. And I think they are. But either way, when you see where Moses was buried, that's exactly where Elijah was taken up. And so what you've got is right here, and this, you can draw a circle around that area. Moses and Elijah both disappeared right there. God buried Moses right there, and God buried Elijah right there. We don't know exactly where. But why would God bury those two side by side right there in that same little area and give the indication of, we know that his body was preserved, because remember it says that Satan was trying to get the body of Moses. It tells us in Jude, and Michael the archangel said, the Lord rebuke you, and Michael protected the body of Moses. So it would appear that those bodies are there, that they're being protected by angels. I believe that the spirit will re-enter those two bodies. I think those two bodies are going to stand up and walk out of those tombs. I think they're going to cross back over the Jordan, and you're going to see the Jordan split. I personally believe you're going to see the Jordan split again. Here's why. Again, the Bible didn't say this. This is Mark's speculation. I think it's going to be a testimony and a witness to the nation of Israel that these are revived prophets of God as they're doing the same miracles that happened in the Red Sea and happened at Jordan. And they're going to walk into Jerusalem and they're going to start the 3.5 year service of, you know, the witnesses at the end of the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. They're going to be taken back up into heaven. And so I gave you a lot of information there, Keon. I hope that's helpful. But again, I can't say that I'm 100% right other than about Elijah being one of the prophets. But at the same time, I believe the two prophets are going to be Moses and Elijah. And I think very possibly even in their original bodies, supernaturally preserved by the Lord himself.
You may be a businessman or some high degree.
All right, let's go to some One World Government news where we go to Yahoo.com. This article is dated May 27. Sources are saying that Amazon is in talks with Italy to invest billions of euros in the cloud. So we've got $320 million going off a pier and billions of dollars going up in the cloud.
Yeah,
money is just going everywhere.
Yes, it is. It's going up in the air and out in the sea. Again, discussions between the parties over the size of the location of the investments are ongoing, according to sources, with one of them saying Amazon Web Service, AWS, is considering expanding its current site in Milan or building a new one. Now, why did I leave this article? Why do we put this article in here? Like, who cares if they have a cloud plan with billions of euros in Italy? Again, I believe, remember, the world has to be prepared and ready for a system that can have the mark monitor everyone. And there's going to have to be a much greater, I think, internet system, a much greater cloud system, a much greater control system than even currently what we have. And it's interesting to me that they're in Europe. They're in Italy.
They're not talking to companies. They're talking to countries.
That's right. And you're getting this, you're getting in place a system by data entry and data information and whatever that could monitor marks on people through satellite, through all kinds of cloud systems that the world could be monitored and controlled by from a revived Roman Empire there in Europe. And that's exactly what this kind of stuff does. It lays the groundwork for the Antichrist to come on the scene, implement the mark, and then be able to control the entire world. So that's a very interesting article. Keep your eyes on that.
MSN.com, dated May 29th, a senior European Union diplomat is telling Haaretz that it is no longer taboo that more European states are now considering recognizing Palestine.
Yeah, this is really heating up, guys. Again, remember, Israel
recognizing something that never existed.
Well, Israel, that's right. But Israel wants nothing to do with allowing their enemies to live side by side with them after what happened on October 7th. It just really accentuated the problem they're facing. But the world's going, under the influence of Satan, under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist, the world's going, you know what? We're just going to do it anyway. We're going to recognize your enemies and we're going to put them right there. Because remember, Satan is trying to destroy Israel and destroy the Jews. So anything he can do to forward that, he's going to do. So several EU member states, it says, are seriously looking into recognizing Palestine, as these have already done. Spain, Norway, and Ireland, they've done it, Greg. These three, Spain, Norway, and Ireland. Now, again, what they're recognizing, I don't know. There is no nation there, but they're saying we give them a seat. We want them to have a seat at the UN. We recognize them in our nations. Sven Koopmans, a Dutch diplomat who has held the role of special representative since 2021, told Haaretz in an interview that such decisions are made independently by the member states and are not controlled or affected by the EU as a whole, but warned they were a harbinger or a sign of a larger international challenge for Israel. Spain, Norway, and Ireland formally recognized a Palestinian state on Tuesday in a coordinated effort by the three Western European nations to increase international pressure on Israel to soften its devastating response to last year's Hamas-led attack. And I quote, "There are a few member states that are looking at this very closely and are likely about to take a step soon," Koopmans told Haaretz. He emphasized that he can't speak on behalf of specific countries, only the entire bloc, but noted that in the aftermath of the war in Gaza and in light of the statements made by senior Israeli government officials against a two-state solution and in favor of eliminating the Palestinian Authority, the issue of recognizing Palestine was no longer a taboo for European governments. So this war that's going on and the hatred that's being shown against Israel is giving boldness to these nations to go, let's just do it. Let's just say, if you won't do it in Israel, we will. There's two nations, and you're here and you're there, and we'll let you guys sort the details out later. But again, remember, it talks about in Joel 3 about those that try to divide up God's land, God's going to deal with them with great vengeance. And so you're going to see they may get away with it for a while, that there's going to be great vengeance. I think it's going to be a part of the final agreement that, I should say, maybe final solution, to use a phrase, that the Antichrist will bring in for that region and trying to go ahead and wipe out the Jews completely, although they won't know it. He'll be deceiving them. But this is very, very interesting to see how much is this going to be pushed. And Greg, remember, America's the one that usually holds everybody back. We have an administration right now that would push with them to go ahead and allow this to take place because we have a very, very anti-Jewish and anti-Israel administration currently. So keep your eye on this. It could get very interesting.
All right, let's get into some disasters from pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. This is from Breitbart, dated May 27th. Deadly storms kill at least 18, probably more than that now,
yeah,
and leave a trail of destruction across Texas, Oklahoma, in Arkansas.
Yes, and obliterating homes, destroying the truck stop where dozens sought shelter in a restroom during the deadly weather latest deadly weather in the U.S. Central U.S. The storms inflicted their worst damage in a region spanning from north of Dallas to the northwest corner of Arkansas, and the system threatened to bring more violent weather to other parts of the Midwest by Monday. Forecasters said the greatest risk would be a shift to the east, covering a broad swath of the country from Alabama to near New York City. So you're going to be seeing a lot more of this, guys. Remember, to a planet near you, two things. Matthew 24, Jesus said in the last days, you'll see more intense storms and more frequent. So we're going to see that happening. And while they've always happened, you're going to see an increase in their intensity and all that goes with that. And again, I'll just go back to Romans 8:22 again with the earth groaning. So I think you see both of these going on. Again, this has nothing to do with man-made climate change. It'll be used that way for political and control reasons, but it has nothing to do with that. It's exactly what Jesus said would be happening for those reasons we stated.
A false unification.
That's right.
For sure.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well, we can use some good news after all of that good news, so to speak. Our first article comes from ChristianHeadlines.com. This is dated May 23rd. This is very interesting. Deaf Missions to release a first ever ASL film on Jesus' life.
Yeah. I'm really cool. I mean,
that is very cool.
It really is. And, you know, you see strong deaf ministries all over the world. And now they're getting more and more, they can reach more people that, again, are not able to hear. And so this Deaf Missions, it's called, a ministry dedicated to serving people who are deaf, is releasing the first ever feature film presented completely in American Sign Language. Now, again, let me just finish reading it and I'll make my comments. The film, set to release June 20th, is directed by Joseph D. Jocelyn and stars Gideon Furl, both of whom are deaf. And I quote, "Growing up in a Christian family, I watched many films about Jesus, but I always wondered, what if these movies were in sign language?" Jocelyn told the Christian Post through an interpreter. After joining Deaf Missions in 2006, the idea began to take shape, though it seemed daunting at the time due to the scale of production, technology, and the funding required. Now, here's what I don't know, and I didn't really see in the article, and how do you carry this out? Is it somebody at the bottom of the screen? Is it built into the screen? And maybe I didn't read every bit of the article. Maybe I should have, now that I was thinking about this. I got the main gist of it because I wanted to share what a neat thing it was. But how you do that on the screen, I don't know. I doubt it's someone there at the theater that's going to be doing that out front. It's going to have to be somebody there in the movie. Maybe they're, Greg, the whole movie, they're signing each other. I guess that's what it is. As the characters are talking, they're signing each other. But it's really very interesting to see how this is going to be and how this would work. I'm sure that's probably what it is as I say that out loud. They're probably just signing each other. You know, that puts a whole new, problem you'd have to work out as a director. You'd have to be angling everybody, you know, in a certain way. You couldn't have your back to anybody in any of the scenes. Everything would have to be angled in such a way that you could see how they're signing and what they're doing and what they're saying and all that. But very, very, I think, interesting, very wonderful for those who who can't hear and want to be able to see a movie, I think that's a great idea. Now, again, it would be hard to get to a place where you could have a lot of movies doing that because you have to use only people that can do that. Probably see a lot of the same cast in a lot of the movies, you know, doing the same, doing different movies as different characters.
Yeah.
But I think it could be a great new thing for the movie industry, for the deaf, you know, population. I think it's great.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's great. That's definitely good news for them. So.
Yeah. Well, a little while ago, Pastor Mark had formed a new investment company called Genesis 12-3 Investments, where he encouraged everyone to invest in what Genesis 12-3 tells you to invest in. And I think some people listened.
Okay.
Because this article from All Israel News, dated May 30th, says, hundreds of Christian leaders come to stand in the gap for war-stricken Israel.
Yeah, this is what's so encouraging. You know, we see all the discouraging news about nations standing against Israel, individuals standing against Israel and fighting them, even our own national leadership at the moment, the current administration standing against Israel and fighting against Israel very openly and publicly. And yet we have to remember the majority of Americans stand with Israel. And the majority, I think, of our political leaders even stand with Israel. With all the marches going on the streets and the votes coming in and all the people they're letting across the border now, you see politicians trying to appease many different people and many different agendas. But it's good to know that you can still, there are still those that stand very boldly with the nation of Israel and support them and understand it. And I think the neatest thing to me about this article, Greg, as I was reading, is that it was kind of a shock to the people in Israel as to how we're standing with them. They know we love them, but again, they're kind of going, oh my goodness, how far are you guys taking this? This is, again, as you said, from the Knesset, Israel's Congress. And I quote, "You're here with a very important purpose. Albert Veskler, the CEO of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, told the nearby 400 evangelical and Jewish leaders from 40 countries who gathered in the Israeli parliament on Wednesday to stand by the Jewish state in its time of war. You're here to stand in the gap. Yes, and the very reason you are here is that I believe we've entered a new era. I think a red line has been crossed. Indeed, it has. Nations after nations have been abandoning Israel," Vesker said in his opening remark. Knesset member Matan Kahana, the host of the event, warmly welcomed the guests from around the world with "Bruchim Habaim Beshem Hashem," welcome all comers in the name of God, is what that means. Former U.S. Congressman Michelle Bachmann reminded those present of the biblical promise of blessings to all the world while the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived in the land of Israel. And again, also, I think, making reference to Genesis 12:3, as you said, and how wonderful it is, Greg, for them to see we stand with them, because they're seeing that we're not just saying, I think for years, because the world's been fairly stable for the Jewish people, we've been saying we stand with you. And they're like, okay, thank you. That's very nice. Thank you. Thank you. You know, but now we're doing it. We're going to council meetings and making our voice known. We're fighting people in Congress and Senate saying we stand with the nation of Israel. We're going over there and traveling and doing it. They're seeing the church and America love them, and it's going to have an impact. Remember, in the last days, God's going to pour his spirit out on the nation of Israel and on the Jews, and it says at some point there'll be a good jealousy. They'll actually get jealous of how much we love their God and their Bible, and they're going to be drawn into God by that. And then when they see this great move of God as Russia and Iran try to attack them from the north, and God supernaturally intervenes after we've been planting all these seeds, telling them about it, showing them we stand with them, then they see God do it, Greg, that's going to open their hearts, and that's when they're going to receive their Messiah. They're going to recognize Jesus, at least a portion of them will, as their Lord and Savior, and there's going to be that last day's rescuing and saving of a multitude of Jews in Jerusalem, in Israel, and around the world. And God's going to complete his promise to them. So it's so exciting to see this, and we get to be a part of it. And I encourage our listeners, be a part of standing with Israel and sharing the gospel with them and supporting them. Let that jealousy, as they see you loving them, come through and drive them to the Lord, because there's going to be a great reward. I was reading just this morning in my regular reading, Isaiah 60, and God talks about the great reward that will be there for all that stand with Israel, and especially in the last days, supporting them because the world's turning against them.
Now, we know that the 144,000, there will be an immediate salvation
yes,
there.
Yes, that's right.
But is God also using the two witnesses to continue to, because they'll be there in Jerusalem. It's not like they're traveling the world.
Right.
But will God be using them to continue to evangelize the Jew
Absolutely.
During that time?
I think there'll be many Jews that'll say.
Which would make more sense that Moses, in what he represented to the Jewish people, would be the other guy, right?
You have the law and the prophets.
Yeah, there you go.
You have the law and the prophets right there.
Wow.
The law and the prophets to the nation.
Yeah.
And so when the law, then the law and the prophets will be then turning them to Jesus. Because they're both going to be saying, we talked to him on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's the one. I mean, again, this is going to be amazing what's going to happen. There'll be many that'll say, there'll be many that will hate them, even as they hated Jesus, both among the Jews and among the world, especially in the Antichrist. But there's going to be a great number of them that are going to be saved and restored. You know, it's interesting, Greg, as a side note, I know we're about out of time, but they've now, but doing by DNA testing, they now have determined that 10% of the Jews on the planet today come from the line of the Kohanim. So God reserved a tithe of the priests that are still here, which God, again, that'll be not only false priests in the third temple, but also those that are being saved, leading people to the Lord in the last days. So be praying for the nation of Israel and watch what God does in the last days. And by the way, again, if you're listening today and you, Jesus has touched your heart and you now go, you know what I can see by all this prophecy, there's no way you can deny God and the truth of God's word. The Bible says Jesus died for you on the cross and spilled his blood. And if you simply confess your sin to him, ask forgiveness of your sin and receive him as your Lord and Savior, Jew or Gentile, you will be born again and saved and have your place in heaven. We invite you to do that right now.
Yeah. And make an investment in Genesis 12:3.
There you go.
And make an investment in a life with Christ.
That's right.
And you can't go wrong. Pastor Mark, thanks as always. Folks, don't forget thewaymedia.net for everything Signs of the Times, plus other things for you to be spiritually encouraged by throughout the week until we see you back here next Friday for more Signs of the Times.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard the fullness of your love, the kindness undeserved, this mystery of grace I cannot comprehend.